This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek coming to you from the offices of High Visibility North America in Lexington, Kentucky.
Well, I'm Jamie Jennings coming to the office of me from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It is St. Paddy's Day, March 17th, episode 871, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse friends wearing
it's
green.
Monday is my favorite.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Horses in the Morning. And for all of you who live in the north that were happy that I was going to be traveling to Lexington in the winter, you got your wish because we had like an ice storm last night. So I'm looking outside this morning and it's snowy and icy and cold. So you all got your wish. Now I can head back to Florida today and be warm again.
So yeah, that's what everybody was wishing for. They were probably wishing for spring, Glenn.
Yes, that's true. That's true. They are very sick of winter here in Lexington. I can tell you that, everybody.
Let me just tell you that here in Phoenix, Arizona, it was ridiculous yesterday. It was awful. It was, like, so hot. It was, like, 88 degrees, almost 90. It was terrible. I, like, rode and I sweat. It was awful. I decided to put sunscreen on, okay? Jeez. Don't worry. All you hating me right now, I'll get it. I'll get mine coming up in June, July, August, September, October, when it's 115 degrees. Don't hate me right now. Hate me then, you know, whatever. I do it to myself.
That is true. Well, it's fun. It was fun to be back in Lexington here. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up on today's show. And, of course, I'll give you sort of my afterthoughts of Road to the Horse, my first trip here, and some of the things around that. You went to an air show, and I was kind of jealous. I was actually kind of jealous because Jennifer and I love air shows. And you have a big air show there, right, at the base where your husband
is? Yeah, it's at Luke Air Force Base. And, you know, I sent a picture, I posted a picture on Facebook of my husband and my baby wearing their little, you know, flight suits and camo and everything. It was very, very cute. And you get on there and go, oh, my God, I'm so jealous of you. You're at an air show. And I'm like, are you serious? Because I'm so jealous of you. You're at Road to the Horse. You're in the mecca of horses, and I'm stuck in the desert staring at planes. And here you are at the epic Road to the Horse in the beautiful, sunny Lexington, Kentucky, now icy. So I didn't want to hear it when you were like, I'm jealous. Like,
I would have for a day. I would have given you a day for a day at the air show because I just love, love, love air shows. I'm a guy. Of course I like air shows. Did your husband fly in it?
No. Guys that do the air shows are, that's all they do in that assigned time. The Thunderbirds that put on the really awesome, amazing show, they're Thunderbirds for 2 years. That's their assignment. So as you can imagine, it takes a lot of practice to fly 3 feet from somebody else at, you know, 300 miles an hour. I think they're crazy, but it was just amazing, and it was a great time. And my dad was in town, so I got to take him on base and show him the whole thing. And so it was good, but it was no Road to the Horse.
What's Baby Lucas think of a loud air show?
Well, Baby Lucas had earplugs in. And at the time of the air show, he was desperately overdue for a nap. So there might have been some tears. Might have been some crying. It just was the way it worked. But the good news is nobody could hear him cry because it was so loud.
That is true. They are fun. I thoroughly enjoy those. Well, Jennifer,
yeah,
tell us
awesome.
What's coming up on our horse show today.
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, following a detailed recounting of Glenn's first trip to Road to the Horse and his adventures there, Elisa Wallace stops by with a big announcement that involves Mustangs and the Rolex Kentucky three-day event, where, by the way, Horses in the Morning will be broadcasting live, so stop by and see us. And in the third half of the show, the high-visibility sportswear North America Wacky World of Horse Nation turns up the laugh track. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Time for my Daily Whinny. My Daily Whinny goes out to two groups. One, to Tammy Sarant, host of the Western Radio Show, and all the gang at Road to the Horse for making us feel so welcome. And to all the listeners that came out to see us. Jamie, I had a bunch of listeners say hello to you. They love hearing your stories. And you know what was funny is you're going to feel better about this because I know it bothers you. It bothers you probably more than anybody. But I asked almost all of them, does Baby Luke in the background bother you? And every one of them said, no, we love hearing Baby Luke. So apparently
really?
Baby Luke is not. Yes. It was so, I didn't know what the answer was going to be when I asked the question, and that's the answer I got. So you can stop fretting about that, okay?
Well, it you is, know what? Yeah. I've got an offer for those people. If they want to come on over and babysit for a couple hours, I'd love to go ride.
But I did get to meet probably, I don't know, 20, 25 listeners this weekend.
Oh, yay.
I can't remember all their names. So I'm sorry I can't remember all your names, but it was very nice to meet you all. And there are regular names that we see on Facebook, and to put faces and to chat with some of them for a while, that was a lot of fun. So that was a good time. It was nice to see. And a lot of them, I'm very happy to say, and Road to the Horse is very happy to hear, that a lot of them came to Road to the Horse because of the radio show. They heard it on the radio show, didn't know anything about it, and came out and made trips out of it, weekend trips out of it. So there's a picture, I don't know if you noticed on Facebook, that one of them posted. She was sitting right above, Jennifer could probably look it up and see who it was. She was sitting right above our banner that was on the arena wall, and so she took a picture of it looking down. So she was right there, and that was kind of neat, too, seeing our banner on the wall, and our name kept popping up on the Jumbotron. That was kind of cool, too.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh, well, I hope that they get to either, number one, make another trip to Rolex so I can meet some of them, or Glenn will pony up and fly me in for Road to the Horse next year. Come on!
Well, I have more to talk about with that, but first it's time for your Daily Whinny.
Jennifer?
And Jennifer's clue to play with it.
Jennifer's running sound today, just so you guys know. Again, Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for your complaints.
She just wrote, I cannot be trusted.
I love doing that. my Daily Whinny is one of those things that just reminds you on a daily basis that I am in the wrong equestrian sport. I swear, in California over the weekend, there was a Grand Prix show jump, and there was the show jump that was presented by none other than Lamborghini. Now, when Lamborghini is the presenting sponsor for a class you are in, you know there's going to be some cha-ching involved, and that money was $1 million. There was a $1 million Grand Prix in California at Thermal California this past weekend. Oh, my God, I've got a chance to show jumping. This chick goes in, and she does not have a rail. She has, like, she has to beat the person in front of her by, like, a second. And her name was Ashley Bond Clark from California, and she beat out every well-known show jumper that there is in the world to go on and win Sunday's AIG $1 million Grand Prix presented by Lamborghini Newport Beach.
Okay. Ashley's a super, super nice girl. She's been on our shows before in the past, and she just got married very recently. It wasn't in the last year she got married. And she's in her 20s probably. This will even make you sicker. She's probably in her – I can't believe she's 25 yet. And her check, by the way, she posted a picture of it, was $350,000 for first place.
Good God. That's awesome. I'm in the wrong court.
And you want to get the – there's another half of the story. There's two parts of this jewel. They're calling it Jewel of the Hits Triple Crown of Show Jumping, and that's another $1 million Grand Prix brought to you by Great American, I think, which is an insurance company, that's going to happen in Ocala on March the 24th, and Ashley is heading off for that too. And this is a new horse that she just got, a 10-year-old chestnut mare, and a mare, by the way, for all of you mare lovers out there. And she's heading off and could win another $350,000 coming up.
That'll pay for a honeymoon. My God.
By a lot of hay, wouldn't it?
About a lot of hay, yeah. Now, I'm dying to know because I have not looked at Road to the Horse at all. So I would wait with bated breath for every word that you would give to me about Road to the Horse. It is one of my, it's one of the coolest things that can go on, and I want to hear all about it.
All right, good. Well, let's just we'll review very quickly. For those that didn't listen to Friday's show, and by the way, if you didn't, you should go back and take a listen. We had some really neat guests. And Jamie, we did our first on Friday. I know you were busy with company and everything. We did our first, had our first interpreter on Friday because Antoine Close's wife was on, and she was speaking French, and then we had an interpreter that was interpreting for her. So that was kind of cool. But you can go back and take a listen to that show. That was fun. So what happened was, at the end of last year's Road to the Horse, there were six wild card competitors who picked horses out of the what they call the Remuda, the gaggle of horses there. And they took them home for a year, trained them for a year, came back, and competed on Thursday for the opportunity. The winner of that competition with those year-trained horses would then go on to compete in Road to the Horse with these other top clinicians. So the winner of that wild card was Jim Anderson, and he had the opportunity then to go on, pick another horse out of the Remuda, and have 3 days to train that. His competitors were Dan Steers of Dan and Dan Horsemanship, Dan Steers and Dan... Dan Steers and
James.
Dan... Help me out. James, thank
Dan
you.
James.
The hot one.
Out of Lexington, the hot one, yes. They all have great accents. The women all love Dan Steers. Then they're all showmen. They're just like Guy McLean. They're all showmen out of Australia there. And then Antoine Clough, who was out of Switzerland. Super nice guy. Got to chat with him for a while. And then Jonathan Field out of Canada has been on our Stable Scoop show a number of times. He's a well-known clinician up there. So what they did on Friday is they picked their horses out of the Remuda. They had an hour and a half Friday, an hour and a half Saturday, and an hour Sunday to train these horses from untouched. These horses had not even had a halter on. They had been turned out since they were born on, get this, on the Four Sixes Ranch, Jamie. Their field was 5,000 acres. So, they didn't have much human contact. The only time they had ever been touched by humans was to get snipped. So that was their only experience with humans. So they were pretty much untouched. They actually had cowboys, real cowboys, these are the real thing, from the Four Sixes Ranch who would, guide them around on their horses. And it was kind of neat seeing the cowboys work and separate one horse out of a pack of 21. That was all kind of cool stuff, too. But they took these horses from totally unbroken. I got to tell you, I wasn't sure. Being a horse husband and, you know how I feel about dressage, watching dressage. I thought watching them for over 5 hours, basically over 3 days, train horses from scratch in round pens. All four of them were in the round pens. In the arena together, there were four separate round pens, and there were very definite rules on what they were allowed to do and how many breaks the horse had to have and all this stuff. I thought, is this going to be exciting enough to keep my attention? And it was. It was riveting. And anybody that's worked with a baby horse on up or worked with untrained horses like you have, pretty much untrained, you you totally appreciate the little things. And that's what this audience, who are all horse people, and believe me, I've seen more cowboy hats and belt buckles and cowboy boots than I've seen in a long time. And we won't mention the tight jeans. We won't mention those. So this audience was really into it, and they also pick up on the nuances. And it's the little things, like the first time you get a halter on, the first time, within an hour of the first day, Jamie, totally untouched, unbroke horses, within an hour of the first day of training, they had the saddles on, and by the end of that hour and a half the first day, they were all in the saddle,
You're kidding. Bucked off.
No, not getting bucked off. And then,
how many hours in is this? Like, the horses are being worked for, like, constantly the whole time?
An hour and a half on the first day is all they had. And they have to give them a 15-minute break during that hour and a half. It can be 5 minutes at a time. They have to leave the ring and give the horses a break. And let me tell you, by the end of that hour and a half the first day, all of them were in saddle, walk, trotting, and cantering.
That's crazy.
It was impressive. I mean, it was very, very impressive. Dan Spears was cracking whips around his horse. He had kind of a cool horse. He was cracking whips around his horse the first day. Front, back, and that horse stood amazingly still. I couldn't believe it. And then, you know, they put tarps out there, and they're getting them, they're desensitizing to all these things, because on the final day, they have to do this bizarre obstacle course, and I posted a picture of it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. I mean, it's a wild obstacle course that I guarantee a jet would not do. Without injury.
Oh. I can't even go by and have the garage door open when he's in the arena.
Did you see the pictures? Of that obstacle course? I don't know. Beaker would have had a tough time with a couple of those things. And these horses have had 5 hours of training, and they're going through this obstacle course.
Is that fireworks?
Oh, that was cool. On the opening of one of the days, I think it was Saturday, they actually turned all the lights off in the arena. I'd never seen this before. And you could see guys with kerosene cans pouring kerosene onto the arena floor, onto the sand in the arena. And then all of a sudden, this guy comes out with a whip that's on fire. You know, he's whipping it around and flames are going everywhere. That was kind of cool, too. And he takes the whip and he pounds it on the ground, and the initials RTTH light up huge in the arena floor. And in fire, you could see the initials of Road to the Horse. And then, anybody listening to the show on Friday knows Ellie O'Brien was my co-host on Friday, just here from New Zealand, a horse trainer out of New Zealand. She walked out in the middle there, and it was completely dark. You can see the picture there. She had only had one opportunity to practice this. She had whips that had sparklers, as the lashes were all sparklers. And she had four of them in her hands, and on cue, she started whipping those around, and sparkles went up into the air. It was really cool. It was kind of cool. I'd never seen anything like that before. I asked her what that was like. She said it was kind of bizarre being in the middle of all that fire and then having the sparklers going, and, you know, she had a blast, though, so she got to do that. She was very excited about it.
Okay,
yeah,
back to the obstacle course.
Yes, sorry.
You could have said no. But that sounds cool. So this obstacle course is like, it looks like something from the Ronald McDonald, playground.
Yes. They kind of made it cartoonish this year, and apparently it changes, you know, on every year she changes it up. So, you know, it is kind of cartoonish this year, and, you know, that was all meant to mess up the horses. They did a great job. The winner, by the way, was Jim Anderson out of Canada. He had a horse that on day one was a very difficult horse to work with on day one, and he just had a difficult time with it. And I got to tell you, by day two, his horse was starting to come around, and by day three, that horse went through that obstacle course. You just knew at the end that he was going to be the winner. He had a good obstacle round. He really did perform well with the horse. He actually got done the soonest. They had 40 minutes to do all of this different stuff in the arena on the final day. They not only had to do obstacles, they had to do walk, trots, canters. They had to pick up all four horses' hooves, which anybody that has had a horse that's untrained, I mean, during the during the competition, they had to pick up all four horses' hooves and hold them there. So these were horses that had never had their feet picked up before. They did the walk-trot lope, they call it. They did the walk-trot lopes. They had to do it for a certain period of time. They had to back up. They had to do stops. They had to mount and dismount. And all of this was being judged by judges the whole time. And then they had to do the obstacle course all within 40 minutes. And Jim Anderson, I tell you what, his horse just rose to the occasion. And he was just the most difficult horse on day one. We didn't think he was going to accomplish anything. And
so
he did.
At the beginning,
he turned around.
At the beginning,
yeah.
When you were watching him with his horse, what made you think that the horse was difficult?
Well, he just was not progressing as fast as the other horses did. Like, you know, at the end of the first hour, those other horses, they were taking blue tarps and rubbing them all over their bodies. They had the saddles on, you know, and Jim just wasn't quite as far. So you could tell that he was taking his time with this horse, and he even said that, you know, this horse was a little more difficult. It was interesting to watch the four clinicians in there at the same time because they all had different styles. Dan Steers was definitely more flashy and, you know, showy, and the others, Antoine was the Swiss guy. He was definitely more taking his time. He had probably ended up in the end having the most difficult horse. He got the loudest ovation after doing the obstacle course because he had the most difficult horse ended up all weekend long. So to get that horse through those obstacles at all was amazing.
Do you think that helps his points, like that he had a difficult horse and then he was able to do everything at the end? I mean, does that help
the best? They were judged all 3 days on their training and everything by these judges, and he came from last place to third place after the obstacle course. So I think the judges were impressed with how much he got that horse to do, you know, considering it was such a difficult horse. And you could tell the difference in horses. Van Steer's horse was playful. I got to tell you one funny thing he did. He was in on last day training, his last hour of training. He had every kind of gadget in that round pen that you could imagine. You know, he had blocks in there. He had pool noodle galore. He had things that they had to walk through and over and under. And then he brought in one of those big beach balls, you know, that the horses use. This horse was so playful with everything. His favorite thing to do, they had a wooden stand in there. This horse loved to climb all 4 feet in the stand and stand there and show off. He just stood there. And he would just stand on it for fun. And this horse took that ball and started pushing around with his nose, and then he started kicking it with his feet, and then he started chasing it. It was fun. And it was hilarious to watch him. And he was on the horse at the time when he was doing this. And then the horse took his foot and went, bam, and popped it, jumped back. It was fun to watch that horse.
Wow.
The amazing part, and I did not get bored at all watching these horses progress through the days, and I can see why people come all weekend, because that's the fun of it, is seeing the horses progress and how they change over that period of time. It was amazing what they got accomplished in 5 hours with these horses. We all wish our horses could do what those horses did after 2 years of training. So
I think my question, you know, if I'm being honest, about Road to the Horse, what has really made me quite curious about it is, are these horses just so tired that you can do anything to them, or is
No.
Okay.
No, there were a few times when they took their trainers on some bucking riding fits. Most of those were on the almost toward the end of the last day of training. And no, there was still a lot of spunk left in these horses. It's not like they're working with them 5 hours a day. They had an hour and a half first day, hour and a half second day, and they get 15-minute breaks. So it's really an hour and 15 minutes first day, second day, and an hour the third day, and then they do the competition. So, no, they were not tired. No, the one thing they had to do, this got most of the horses. The one thing they had to do in the obstacle course was they had to take this heavy thing that was on the ground. It was tied to a rope, and they had to take the rope and somehow pull that heavy thing for like 20 yards. Well, when the rope would hit the horse's butt, you know, as they were pulling, a couple of those horses took off into bucking frenzies. And let me tell you, those riders can stick because they rode the rodeo there for a couple of times. I think Jonathan Field came off once. He was the only one to come off during the competition. Yeah, he came off after that bucking fit from trying to pull that thing. It was pretty cool. I would go see it again for sure. I definitely would, just because, you know, I know what it's like to work with horses that are, you know, being trained and what little things scare them and what little things you have to overcome, and then how they did that in such a short period of time is amazing.
Now, do you think that it's kind of an educational thing for people, or is it just...
I learned a lot. I mean,
really?
Oh, definitely. Oh, you learn, because they do spend a lot of time talking to you about what they're doing at what stages. You know, they have a couple commentators actually who have won before, and they talk you through, okay, he's doing this for this reason. He's doing this, you know, the push and release and, you know, the rewards. And they, none of them used, by the way, treat rewards at all. It was all just, you know, it was all just affectionate rewards, patting and that kind of thing. So it was really cool. And then all of the clinicians actually did clinics on their own horses in the in-between times, you know, during the day.
Oh, really?
So there were things going on all day long. So you learned from them, too, as they were doing clinics and how they break babies and that kind of thing. So it was cool that way. Plus, you know, I was hanging out with a couple of other trainers, too, and learning from them as they were talking about what they were seeing. So it was really neat. Anybody who sits at home, and I know this is the case because I felt the same way, anybody that sits at home goes, how can this be entertaining? You know, how could it be entertaining watching four people in round pens train horses?
But how could it not?
What, it was. It was truly entertaining. And I think because these horses, you just saw, anybody that didn't know anything about horses would have watched this and went, what's the big deal? You know, because it's like, don't horses do that? You know how people are. They don't you just get on and ride? You know, they can't cross a tarp. You know, they can't go through a wall of pool noodles. The horses just don't do that. No, they don't.
Well, the horses do all the work, too. So, I mean, that's the thought process of those people.
Yeah,
so, well,
that
that's
is
cool.
True.
So I think I'm going to need to go because I have just – my horses are the spookiest horses on the planet, so I think that something like this would be great for me. Do you know Chad had
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, one of the first things they do with these horses in the arena after they finally catch them and get their halters on, that's the first thing they do, is they take those blue tarps that are all folded up, and they take those blue tarps that are all folded up, and they rub them all over their body. They just rub them all over their body.
Because,
so take a blue tarp out the jet and rub it all over his body and see what happens.
Oh, my God, I would die. I would get killed. That would be death. But what I'm thinking is, like, okay, so Edward, my thoroughbred, is a little lame, you know, and he's been having some time off, and I've been turning him out every day. But Chad's 40th birthday party, somebody brought some Mylar balloons, you know, like, you're 40 kind of thing. And, you know, they're not really filled with air anymore. They're kind of at the float 2 feet off the ground kind of phase.
Yeah.
And at some point yesterday, the balloon somehow ended up in the pasture. And we're talking about a Mylar balloon that is about 6x6 at this point, and it's floating 2 feet off the ground, and Edward almost jumped into the road. Like, I mean, he was like, that was the worst thing he'd ever seen, and it was 100 yards away. Like, I just don't understand. And then you see these people, I'm watching this, looking at these pictures on Road to the Horse, and these horses are untouched. And I just, one of those people needs to come to my house. I need help.
I'll tell you what, I heard a lot of people saying in the audience, I want to send my horse next year. They can work with my horse next year. That was funny. One other thing before we go on to our guest, I wanted to say is
next year. Do they sell the horses? Do they auction them off afterwards?
Well, in this case, I think all of the clinicians either bought the horses or one of their staff did. So they took their own horses. Now, what they do is there were 21 horses in the Remuda, and they had their four. And then the wild cards for next year picked out their horses. There's 8 wild cards for next year, including Mary Kitzmiller, who we've had on this show. So the only girl, she again, who's going to come on our show here in the next week or two and talk about her new horse, she came in second in the wild cards and did very well. Mary's such a sweetie. And she picked out a new horse, so she'll tell us about that. But there were 10 or 11 of those horses left that they actually sold, the unbroke ones, and I think all of them sold. So these are well-bred. The Four Sixes Ranch is known for breeding the top quarter horses in the world. So these are well-bred, good horses, and they have the lineage on all of them. But I got to tell you what's going to happen next year. The winning prize this year was $10,000. So they do it mostly for the prestige. If you win this thing, you're going to get training business for the next year. You don't have to worry about marketing. But next year, Jamie, if you come, this is the deal. It's $100,000 to the winner next year. They've upped the stakes. But get this. If you're in the audience with a paid ticket, you know, with a ticket in the audience and a seat, they're going to announce three seat numbers. And those three audience members will be able to come down on day one and be part of the teams of the clinicians for the whole time, helping out down in the arena. Not only that, if your clinician wins, you, the audience member that have been helping out, win $10,000.
Oh, my gosh.
So is that pretty
really cool
or what?
That's pretty
cool.
Pretty cool.
I think that's going to up the ticket sales next year for sure. Well, we have I could talk all day about this, but we've done enough, and we have to get on with our guest here coming up. So, Jennifer, if you're back, let's take a break for who is our sponsor today? Is Omega Alpha. Then we're coming back with somebody else working with some horses that were unbroke. We'll be right back.
Winter season is the time of year when our horses' respiratory systems often show signs of stress. More time in the barn, traveling long distances to winter quarters, and back-to-back competitions for weeks on end can all take a heavy toll on your horse's respiratory system. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed a variety of products to keep your horse's airways functioning properly. Airwaves, Lung Flush, Herbicough, Respifree, and Stasis have all been developed to keep your horse's respiratory system in peak condition. Ask for Omega Alpha's all-natural products at your local tack and feed supplier or visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
And we're back. I believe we're back. Are we back?
We're back.
Okay, good. I think we lost Jamie. Did we lose Jamie? Let's see if we got her back here.
I'm here. Am I here?
Yes, there you are.
You're here.
I was just talking away there. I was still on mute. Okay, well, thanks to Omega Alpha Equine for being our sponsor. And we just had a lot of talk about training horses. And you want to talk to about someone who can train a dang horse. That is none other than Alisa Wallace. Good morning, Alisa.
Hi, good morning.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for being on. I know you were just on the Stable Scoop, and I was mad that you weren't on our show because I've been dying to talk to you. How are you?
Good. Good. It's been busy. It was nice because we actually had a bit of a rainy weekend, so I was able to make an excuse and kind of take a day off. So, yeah.
What is a day in the life of Wallace Eventing?
Waking up, feeding, cleaning stalls, riding, cleaning stalls, feeding, turning horses, feed, manure, riding, all that good stuff.
So the glamorous life that we all live. Okay, I love that because that's how we do it too. And I kind of think that, you know, at some point when you're Mustang, you can ride bridleless and saddleless and do Piaf and Passage. I feel like you shouldn't have to clean stalls anymore.
Yeah, well, not so much. Not so much. I still have to clean stalls. But, I have a great couple of working students that help me out, so.
Well, that's great. Well, I was told that I need to ask you about hay delivery with the Mustangs.
Hay delivery?
Jennifer,
why?
What are you talking about?
She has she had a unique way to deliver hay bales when they were having ice storms to the bottom pastures, and the Mustangs were helping.
Yes. Yeah. They're my all-terrain vehicle, so if it's muddy or slippery or I just hop on my Mustangs and go, because that day it was too cold and nothing was starting, and I didn't want to slide on the ice, so I just took Maroon down, and he was fine.
So. That's the truth.
You really overplay that, Alisa. You hauled two entire bales of hay over his butt.
Yeah, he was really good considering that horse when I first got him. Like, generally horses have a certain defense mechanism. So, like, Fledge, he struck in the front, and Rune was more so a kicker. So it made me kind of giggle because those hay bales are, like, flapping up and hitting his flanks, and he's just like, whatever, can I eat them? yeah, it was and he was really good because it took a while to kind of figure it out. So I'd put the hay bales on, and they would, like, fall over on the side, and it was a whole type of mess. But he was patient enough, so he was fine.
A question about training, because you say that you've got that solved. You have a horse that strikes and or kicks. It's a Mustang. You're trying to bond with it in, you know, the 100 days or whatever. What do you do? How do you tell a Mustang, no, bad boy? Like, what do you do when someone strikes
at you? They would, you know, like when you push for certain, when you put that pressure on is when you get that type of reaction. So for Fledge, whenever he would get a little frustrated, he would strike. And so that I used that to my advantage and taught him how to passage, and he really likes to do that. So, you know, then they learn they also have to know what is, you know, respectful. And same with Rune, he was you know, really good at kicking, although he never went to kick at me. It was only at objects in his space, and so I had to make sure that he understood that he was safe and that he didn't have to give that reaction because I was in control of it, and then they start to understand. And then that goes away.
Elisa lost three dogs that way.
Yeah, well, and that's another reason why is I have my little chihuahua and all of our dogs and stuff, and they have to be mindful, but the horses also learn to respect the animals and that they're not going to hurt them or anything like that either. So everybody's safe.
Wow, your working students must just learn so much. I can't even imagine how cool that would be. And you're an inventor, and you will not be competing at Rolex this year, but I hear you have a special announcement for us.
Yes, yeah, so I got the call last Monday after coming back home from Red Hills, and they asked me to do demos with Fledge and Rune during the week of Rolex. So that would be Thursday, Friday, Saturday I would be doing demos. So it's just funny, one of those things that when you put stuff out in the atmosphere, it happens, and it's just been happening. So I'm going to start. I just keep saying things like, it would be really cool to ride the Mustangs at Rolex. And I'm like, oh, I got the okay.
Wow.
All right.
You're using the secret.
Yeah, exactly. My dad loves that. So, yeah, just doing stuff, I guess. You know, you never know unless you actually try or do it. So there's exciting stuff coming up, and hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll be getting a new Mustang soon.
Are you doing it again?
I'm not doing the competitions, but I, because of the demos and the producer of the movie, the American Mustang movie, Ellie Price, has wanted to team up with me to be a supporter and working to get a Mustang, or a couple of Mustangs, actually, to do upper-level eventing. So, you know, the internet adoptions are going on right now, which they just got delayed because of bad weather, and it's killing me because the end was supposed to be tomorrow, but now I have to wait like three more days. And so there's a horse on there that I've been watching and waiting on, and so it's always nerve-wracking, and the auction process always gets your blood pressure up.
I'm not going to ask which one. I don't want anybody to bid against you or anything. But first of all, let me say that we love Ellie Price. She's been on our show. She's the one who owns Dunstan Wines, and she's just an absolutely awesome, awesome person. And this kind of leads me into what I'm going to ask you next. But where is this Mustang coming from that you are looking at?
Like, where is he? where is he in the holding facility wise?
Yeah. Well, what holding
he's
facility?
He's at Ridgefield, California.
Okay.
Is where he's
so you,
being
you,
held.
And where are you located?
I'm in Jasper, Georgia.
Oh my gosh, girl, right up north of Atlanta. Yep. So that would be a long drive for you, but I guess Ellie probably might just bring it on out to you. Why not?
Well, the BLM is, you know, speaking of the BLM, they are good with their internet adoptions for they're having an actual another auction in North Carolina. And then there's also a holding facility in Piney Woods in Mississippi. So the BLM will actually ship the horses over to the East Coast.
Really?
And even if you're able to go out to the pens and, say, pick out a horse, sometimes the BLM will put that horse on the internet adoption trucks and ship it over east if you need it, and then you don't have to pay for shipping.
Wow,
oh my gosh,
I didn't know that.
Just even look at it? That's so cool. I didn't know
right.
they did that either. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, so, I mean, sometimes people feel limited, but there are ways, and there are, you know, the Mustang community is huge, and so people often make trips out. Like, I know there's another person who's making a trip from California to over to the East Coast, and so she would be taking spots on the trailer and only, you know, have people pay for gas. So, you know, there's options. People aren't limited, which I think sometimes they feel like they are. But it's just a matter of getting educated and kind of getting in the loops of everything.
Now, that begs the question. I've got to go back because this is something we've been talking about on our show for a while. You know, I have a couple thoroughbreds. One's always colicking. The other's always lame and blah, blah, blah. And so I said to myself, and I said on the show, that what I need to do is I need to get a Mustang to event because I'm an eventer
yes,
as well.
Yes, you do. It's about time.
And
where is it? Why haven't you gotten it already?
You tell her, Ellie. You tell her, Lisa.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you was, do you think that, I mean, you're kind of the voice of the Mustang for the eventing world. Is this crazy?
No. It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense.
Now, what do you think, where do you think that a Mustang would fit into the eventing world? I'm honestly asking because a couple people have said, wow, that's a great idea. And a couple of people have said, you're absolutely insane. And I want to
yeah,
know
well,
kind
the,
of.
Yeah, the people who say you're insane are just scared and ignorant, so that's fine.
okay,
and those people
write that
are
down.
The ones that I like because I like to change their mind because the minute they saw my 4-year-old going into a 3-star test, all their mouths dropped open. So, you know,
yeah.
when – and he was 9 months out of the wild, and he was doing that at 120 days. So where they fit in is it's just like with any horse. I've gone out and found horses that I have no idea what the pedigrees are, but they have 4 legs and a head and a body. And as long as they're athletic – and they have the mindset, and they enjoy their job, they can do anything. So, you know, where do Mustangs fit in eventing? Anywhere. You know, obviously you have to find the right build for a more upper-level type horse, but for even the non, you know, they can be such great little amateur horses that can kick around novice. That's fine. I mean, but I do think they're, you know, there's 50,000 of them in holding. If you can't find one there, where the heck are you going to find one? So,
yeah.
I mean, and I've done the off-the-track thoroughbred thing, and I just haven't had luck with that. You know, my first horse was a thoroughbred, and I love thoroughbreds. They have great heart. They're incredible horses, and, you know, they are the pinnacle kind of our sport. But for me, I don't know. Once you get a Mustang, I'm telling you, they are – they change you, and then you see the world different, and so it's addicting.
Well, you know, I had the opportunity when I worked at the Kentucky Horse Park and went to school. I did a equine management school there. I had the opportunity to work with a lot of the prison-trained Mustangs mm-hmm. that come out of Carson City, and to Carson City, Nevada, and I've watched the shows, and I've kind of fallen in love with that whole idea. I volunteer for a sheriff's department here with their horse rescue, and to me, my heart is kind of being pulled to these prison-trained Mustangs because, you know, these guys spend 120 days training these horses, and then they're auctioned off. And sadly, a lot of them, even with all that training and love, don't even get homes. They don't even get bought from these auctions. And so I've kind of been pulled in that direction. And, girl, you are, like, selling me on it. You're selling
well,
me on
it. Well, there's some really nice horses that are well-trained that can go for under $1,000. I mean, I saw there was one group of horses that went, and it was through that same type of program. And there was one horse that was I was like, dang, that one would be a nice horse, and he sold for like $1,000. And you know, these guys they put a lot of work and time in the horses, and you can get a nice one. You know, it's just like horse shopping with anything else. Just because it's a Mustang doesn't mean it's any. I mean, if you get a wild one, yeah, you have to be a little bit more educated, but and have the facilities for it. But for me, like I don't. For me, when I get a Mustang, I don't want one that's been touched by anybody else. So that's why with Ellie Price being a huge supporter of mine and allowing me to kind of be able to have the opportunity to, you know, be the first one and hopefully bring this horse up the levels. And, you know. I mean, she's funny because on our phone call, she's like, well, what would your goal be with the horse? I'm like, well, you know, goal would be, if I got it good and going, to go prelim by the fall.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so
you're
that was
so
the
cool.
answer I got.
I love you, Alicia.
I know. I love her. I love her. That's so cool. So are you looking, because Fledge and Rune are, you know, kind of on the smaller side, bless her heart, nothing wrong with that. Are you looking for a different type physically of Mustang for your prelim horse?
Well, I know Fledge can jump around like 3'6", you know, but he is just 5", and he is on the smaller side. And I'll dabble with him in lower level eventing, but Rune is just 4, so I don't really want to do any like heavy jumping. I mean, yeah, I play around with the tricks with him and stuff, but I don't want to do any heavy jumping with him until next year. And so I want one for now because I am getting all this attention and media on the Mustangs. I want to have one that's older, so, you know, in the 5 to 7 range, that can kind of, I don't have to worry about, oh, you know, am I going to hurt them, or, because they do grow slower, so you always have to be mindful about that in their training. But then that can be a little bit difficult because if you get a harder horse, sometimes they're a little bit more educated and a little bit more wary of people.
Yeah,
and,
so the older ones
so,
can be harder.
True, and then I've had other people say that, you know, they can be easier. So it just really depends on the horse. But, you know, I'm always looking for a little bit bigger. I'm not saying, like, 17 hands, but...
yeah, good luck.
Yeah, well, there are some big ones. Like, I think on the internet adoptions, there's one that's 16 hands. I mean, he's a big boy.
Wow.
I generally, in my barn, though, I have my horses are around 15, too. I don't really have, I mean, my advanced horse is 16.3. But I like them smaller. So, you know, 15.2-ish. You know, right in there,
okay.
15 hands, 15.2. Rune's actually 15 hands, so he's not done growing. But I have kind of big, you know, hopes for him. But also it's a matter of me getting clients in the barn and having, you know, not just my horses that I have to pay for. you know, so I actually need to get my barn to make money for my barn owner to be happy. So it's a, you know, it's a business aspect of how can I get the solution to, one, help the Mustangs, you know, help my business, and then, lucky me, I get to do what I love. So kind of works for everybody.
I think what you do is awesome, and I think it's so exciting, and your response to me asking if I should event a Mustang was
well. So
classic.
When are you getting your Mustang?
Well, the adoption is May 31st. I've already done the research, okay, and I'm excited. I don't have a stall, sadly. I'll just have to build one to make one. But I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, they have a lot of rules on types of trailers and all sorts of things, so I'm kind of pouring through.
That's not difficult. Don't you have friends who have stock trailers?
Well, now that since you are the expert, what I wanted to do, because Carson City is like a 12-hour drive, was we have a
you're not getting a wild one, though, right?
Yeah, they still have the same rules, though. You have to have the stock trailer. Yeah.
Maybe. Well, so, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, so I have a 3-horse slant load living quarters, and the 3-horse slant is big enough for them to just send it in. I mean, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what their rules are, so I'm going to have to find out.
Well, if you do that, you would have to, and I'm assuming it's like a 40-60 door, right?
Sure.
In the back?
Yeah.
Do you have a rear tack in the back?
Yep, so I can open it up and the whole thing can be opened up. It's
right.
Not stock. So, we can talk about this later. We don't have to bore everybody with the details. I'll email you. But so you're all for me going to get a Mustang and eventing it. Okay, I've got Elisa. You are on board.
Duh.
I can tell everybody that.
Elisa,
you need
before
to be
we
going
let...
and getting the Mustang and stop me asking that.
I love you, Elisa.
I am married. And again, I still like you have to pay for all my own horses, but that's the only holdout.
Well, Mustangs, though, on the general whole, can't, you know, when you get them wild, there's kind of the initial, sometimes they can be thinner, but on the general speaking, they are easier keepers and they have great feet. So mine are Hoovers and look fantastic, but you know, they're not on like a ton of feed, like my Thoroughbreds are, to stay fit and you know, in the amount of work that they're in. So there are good points in having Mustangs, because they're made by Mother Nature. They're not made by us, so they're a little bit hardier in some aspects. So I say go get your Mustang. It's about time.
Right,
what are you waiting for?
Elisa, before we let you go, I just wanted to mention the film, because you talked about Ellie, and the film is called American Mustang, the movie. It is coming. Actually, it's been released. It was at, I guess it was opened at South by Southwest, which is a place I've always wanted to go. And then it's coming in April to Portland, Oregon, and a bunch of other places. But I wanted to mention the website is AmericanMustangTheMovie.com. It's being opened at select theaters, and hopefully if those theaters get filled up, it'll be at a more wider release, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's about getting awareness for people to even know that there are Mustangs out there, and to know that there are issues with the management, and that we have to figure out how to control the population of the wild horse in order to keep them around, because they're worth having. So.
Very good. Well, it's American Mustang, the movie. We're going to try and get Ellie on. We had her scheduled, but it was the day after an opening, and it was kind of early. So we're going to try and get her on another day to talk about the movie itself. Elisa, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We're going to be at doing our show live from Rolex, so we'll look forward to seeing you then. We'll get you on for sure.
Awesome. Great. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thanks,
Elisa. It'll be fun to meet the horses, too, for the first time. That'll be fun. Well,
I went to her Facebook page. She has before and after pictures of the horses, and it's just shocking how quickly they develop and look beautiful. So if you haven't seen it, go to go find her on Facebook. It's pretty cool.
I would love to see Elisa be the first English trainer to do Road to the Horse sometime. Wouldn't that be fun
be
to get
cool.
an English trainer in there who has experience working with the wild ones? But then she's not going to have she won't have a 90 days. She'll only have 5 hours. But I'd love to see that. I would love to see somebody on the English side. I've actually put the bug in their ear that they really need to do that. Well, let's talk a little bit about, well, first I want to thank all of you who have become a patron, who have joined the ranks as an official HRN auditor. A lot of you are still joining up, and we appreciate that. If you want to help support the Horse Radio Network and become a patron of the Horse Radio Network, you can do that by going to horsesinthemorning.com and clicking on the big banner in the middle of the page. You can do it for as little as a dollar a month, and there are some things that are going to be happening with the patrons here very shortly that are going to give them an opportunity to participate a little bit, and I think they're going to like what we have up our sleeves for them. So if you want to go help support the shows that you know and love here at the Horse Radio Network, you can do that at that website. Just follow the link on our page. It's time for our song, Jennifer. Settle Down, Cinderella by Patty Hall. We'll be right back with Leslie Wiley with The Wacky World of Horses, brought to you by High Visibility.
I pressed the button, I promise.
I know. I think, actually, I've lost the switchboard altogether. It's gone.
Yeah.
Jamie, can you sing for the next 3 minutes? Because
no. Look at that. It's spinning, and it's a really pretty color. And
yeah.
I've got a question. Speaking of pretty colors, how did they train horses before we had blue tarps?
I kind of wonder if we're still on the air, Jennifer. So if you could check that a while, maybe we can do some news here. And I think might have lost Jamie, actually. I don't know if she's still here or not. But I'll talk to myself for a while if you could check on that. One of the things that happened over the weekend was we got an update from Boyd Martin on his wife, Silva. Of course, she was injured in an accident. She's a Grand Prix Dressage rider. She was injured in an accident here a couple of weeks ago. And Boyd Martin has posted an update that his wife, Silva, is doing well. She's going to 5 hours of rehab daily, working on her speech, balance, and movement. She had a head injury with a brain bleed. She's hoping, or this is from Boyd's blog, Silva's mom, Krista, is arriving tomorrow from Germany, and she's going to meet up with Silva in Palm Beach. We are waiting for Silva's neurosurgeon to give her the okay to travel. And as soon as she gets the all clear, her and her mom will head to Pennsylvania to the Bryn Mawr Rehab Hospital in Malvern. From all reports, that's the number one place to get Silva back to 100%. At the moment, she's mentally sharp as a tack, and her neurosurgeon assures me that as time goes on and the blood is reabsorbed into her body, her balance, sight, and speech will improve. There's no question it's a pretty serious injury, and it will take time to heal, but if you give this kind of thing enough time, things usually come back to 100%. So when Boyd actually returned back to Aiken to get back to work with the horses, but Silva will be hopefully heading back to Pennsylvania to continue her rehab up there. Are you back, Jamie?
I am. I did. You said you were playing the song, so I went to go to the
bathroom. Yeah, we've lost the switchboard, and the song will not play. We can't get anything to play, as a matter of fact. Which is going to be kind of hard to get Leslie on if the switchboard is down. So Jennifer's trying to look into that at this moment. So it's you and I, girl. It's all we got right now.
Well, I did get a bunch of news, so that's a good thing. Let me find it. Oh, so this is really cool, actually. And Glenn, I know you and Jennifer are going to sign up immediately because you are that kind of couple. You're marathon runners,
oh, no.
Aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm a runner. Yep.
Well, it is named America's Prettiest Half Marathon, and it has been built over the last 3 years. It's only a half marathon, Glenn. You could totally do it as you wheel in a wheelchair through it. It's called Run the Bluegrass, and it is going to be this year in actually just a month or so. Run the Bluegrass is going to run by more than 30 thoroughbred farms during the half marathon, including Donnemeyer, Stone Street, Ferris Farm, Manchester, and there's tours of Lane's End, Ashford Stud, bourbon distilleries, eateries around Lexington. It's kind of a whole all-encompassing of Lexington.
Wait a minute. You run for a while and then drink bourbon and then run for a while and drink bourbon? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, those are separate tickets. So private tours of Lane's End and Ashford Stud are not part of the marathon. You will be run the marathon and then limp through Lane's End Farm in Ashford Stud, probably crawl through the bourbon distillery.
Just chuck me in one of the wheelbarrows.
I know, right? Here you go. wheel on through. Apparently, every time that they do the event, I guess in the past years, because this is only the third, they honor one Lexington Thoroughbred horse for the race. So in the past, the first year was Secretariat, was honored and featured in the race, and then last year was Genuine Risk. And what they do is they, you know, everybody that finishes the half marathon, which I would not be one of those people, gets a medal. You know, everybody always has a medal and their Facebook pictures are like, I just ran half marathon, and then they're wearing the medal. Well, this is a medal actually worth getting, because guess who the horse prominently featured this time is? Miss Zenyatta.
Oh, wow.
So I wonder, what I want to know, the real question is, will I be able to find one of these medals on eBay after the race? Because that's the only way I'm getting one of these things. And I really want one. So, yes, Zenyatta is featured. She is going to be the horse honored for the Run for the Bluegrass. I think it's so cool. I wonder if they'll let me take a golf cart. That's all I want to know.
You can get yourself a pinch hitter. Hire someone to run for you.
Man, that's a good idea.
And then you get the medal. Yeah.
I'll just buy the medal off somebody at the end of it. You run.
I don't know.
I'll meet you at the end. No, it's pretty cool. Pretty awesome. Another news story, Jennifer, and I want to get somebody on to talk about this. This is actually pretty cool. It's called the Campaign to Get 100,000 Americans Involved in Horses in 100 Days. And it's called timetoride.com is the website. The registration deadline is May 15th. And what this is a grassroots campaign to get 100,000 people involved with horses. And there is $100,000 in cash and prizes to participating stables, organizations, and businesses. The program's going to enlist 1,000 stables, clubs, venues, organizations, or individuals to register as a Time to Ride host to compete in this challenge. And they're going to be separated in small, medium, and large divisions. And they're challenging people to provide horse experience to as many new participants as possible, including education, riding, grooming, horsemanship, learning, anything you can do to show people that aren't horse people anything about horses. You can win individual cash prizes of up to $25,000, as well as stable equipment, feed, vet supplies, and more to the people that get the greatest number of new verified horse enthusiasts. I'm using air quotes, enthusiasts. So we got to get somebody on to talk about that, because I would be more than happy to bring some people in and let them brush a horse or clean some stalls. I mean, my God, if I'm going to get paid for that, bring it on.
Interesting that you should mention that, Jamie, because on Friday, guess who's coming on the show?
Shut the front door. You got somebody from that?
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're going to come in and talk about it. It is a really cool program, because there are rewards for businesses who sign up and compete for the lowest number, but they also have a system where you can go in without paying a nickel, and they have a map where someone who's curious about horses can click on this little map, and you as a business have signed up to be on the map. They just click on you right there on the little map and go, oh, look, right down the street there's a boarding stable, or, oh, look, over here across town there's a tack shop, and you can sign up and be on the map. So it's really a pretty thorough program. So on Friday, we're going to have someone from the American Horse Council come on and tell us all about it.
Well, ask and ye shall receive. Sorry, I actually, that was not a setup, people. I did not know that, and I'm sorry that I've covered it twice now.
That's
you're
cool.
You're going to hear about it,
I love it
on Friday. Yeah. Well done, producer. and then, let's see, do we have Leslie on yet?
Yes, we do. Yes, we
all right,
do.
Glenn,
so let's bring Leslie, if Jennifer, if you could bring her up. Let's bring Leslie Wiley on from the Wacky World of Horses, brought to you by High Visibility Sportswear. Of course, I am at the offices of High Visibility Sportswear this morning. I appreciate them letting me use their desk and their internet this morning, coming to you from Lexington, Kentucky. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Are you in green?
yeah. No, I'm not in green, but there's no one.
Liar.
There's no one here to pinch me, so I think I'm safe.
I was going to say, are you in green or are you just turning green from all of the alcohol you consumed this weekend? That would be a yes. Yes. Yes, I am.
No, you know I always well, wait until we... after lunch to start drinking, so.
Good to know. Leslie, you always bring us the coolest stuff and the wacky stuff from the world of horses. Of course, horsenation.com is the blog that you want to check out. I don't know if you could even call Horse Nation a blog. It's more of just the website. It's gone beyond blog. It's beyond blog now.
Beyond blog.
It's mainstream. That's right. Well, the first article you had here was we don't have tack for that, presented by Thinline. Tell us about that.
I think we've talked about Hermes Stuff equestrian line on the show before. They have very lovely but just ridiculously expensive items in their equestrian collection, like I think we've talked about this before, a $260 hoof pick, a $350 soft brush. It goes on and on, $900 spurs, $1,000 sheet, and on and
but
on and
have-
on.
They have something very special for St. Patty's Day, though.
They do. They there's a special section on their website that they sort of will rotate in and out different items that are sort of limited edition. And the one that they currently have up, I had a shocking had a shocking price tag on it. I looked at it and I thought, that's cool. It's kind of like it's crocodile leather. It's green crocodile leather. It's a saddle. It's very beautiful. It's on a stand. It's just a miniature little statue of a saddle. So I guess you could put it, you know, put it in your house, put it in your living room. You can't actually put it on a horse, but you will not believe how much this thing costs.
Now, this is an unusable saddle. It's meant
yes.
for just show.
Yes.
Okay. What would
oh
you pay
God.
For that? I would pay $2 for an unusable saddle that I was just putting out for a show. That's what I would say.
Well, add, I guess, another four zero signs to that. It is actually listed for $20,400. Amazing.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah.
For a green saddle.
For a little green saddle. That's right.
Crazy.
I don't know what actual size it is. Like, is it like briar horse size? Or is it, you know, I don't know. They describe it as a mini saddle. So,
Hey, did you guys hear, speaking of products and speaking of endorsements, did you hear that the first rider in the equestrian world has been endorsed by Nike this week or last week? And her name, I don't know how to say her last name. Her name's Aiden. She's a rising young dressage rider, and she signed a contract with Nike to become Nike's first U.S. equestrian athlete. And the reason that she did that is because Nike is coming out with a complete equestrian line of clothing. So they're going to have their first equestrian line of clothing coming out here very shortly and going to try and give old Ariat a run for their money.
Wow. Yeah. That will be interesting to see. I thought that they put some boots out experimented with some boots, not tall boots, not too long ago. Do you remember
they
that? They were
have?
Very much
yeah.
looking like tall boot kind of sneakers. I think Becky Holder was wearing them. And I don't think that they really took off. since they don't seem to be around anymore.
Well, apparently they're trying to get a little bit more mainstream. And you know, if Nike gets involved with something and the clothing line actually starts to sell, they'll be sponsoring more riders too, which would be a good thing.
Yeah, that's really pretty exciting.
So that's what's going on over there.
I would love the challenge. I would love to see if the Nike shoes would actually hold up to horse urine a little better than the Ariat paddock boots. Blowouts.
Yeah. I've never had great luck with Ariat boots, and they're not a sponsor, so I can feel safe saying that. Mine have always squeaked. Every pair of Ariat boots I have squeaked when I walk. I don't know why that is. And I even condition them and all that stuff, and they still squeak.
And I have buy a heard pair people, every year.
Yeah.
I go through about a pair of paddock boots a year. Yep.
Planned obsolescence. They want you to buy a pair of paddock boots every year. And you do. Go back for more. So, hey, Jamie, you have to check out the next link that she has on here, because you needed something to do with baby Luke while you're doing the lessons and stuff, and she has a post up that gives you the perfect plan. Tell us about that, Leslie. How can she take care of baby Luke, keep baby Luke happy while she's working with the horses?
Well, all you need is a hot walker. Apparently, according to YouTube, I found a couple of different videos of one of them has a hot walker sort of attached to, like, pulling a little baby stroller
off-road
around.
Stroller, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's another one. It's actually not showing up on the post right now, but I saw it was circulating around Facebook a couple weeks ago. And it is a hot walker. There's horses going around, and then all of a sudden you see that one of the at the end of like one of the spokes is not a horse, but actually a little baby swing, and that there's a little toddler in it riding around in it.
Yes, they hook the swing right to the end of one of the spokes, so when the horses go around, the baby gets a ride. You don't even have to push.
Genius.
This is genius. Genius. Now, of course, it begs to ask, do you attach horses to that as well? Because sometimes horses can get a little crazy on the hot walker.
Gets a real ride. It'll be more fun. They'll be screaming and laughing and carried on. Like a roller coaster.
Yeah. Taking them to the fair.
Yeah. I mean, baby Luke's dad's a fighter pilot. This would be great training.
It's shocking that you're not a parent, Glenn. It's shocking.
Parents all worried about everything all the time. Jeez.
I know. And you know what? This actually, while this is genius, it takes me down. You know how the Horse Nation now posts the things that you should also look at, the links you should go to, and it sends you back to where the babies are on saddles naked when they're like 2 days old.
Yes.
So I click on that, and you have to add baby Luke to that because of your post. I actually had those photos done of little Lucas.
Did you really?
I did. Oh my God, it's the cutest thing ever.
I would like you to know,
I put him on his daddy's saddle, and it's a composite photo, so it's, you know, somebody was actually holding him the whole time. They're very safe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Baby Lucas was about 5 days old. And proceeded to poop all over the saddle. And when you're 5 days old, it's not firm. It is like water. And it was like all over the backside of the saddle. And I was so
proud.
That's
the part you don't see in the pretty pictures.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll send it to you because you've got to see it. It was so stinking cute.
It might be a time for another baby on saddle post. It might be time.
Version 2.0.
Yes. Round 2. Aww. If baby Luke is a celebrity. Did you get one with all the poop all over him in the saddle? That would be a good one to post.
No, of course not. It was daddy's saddle, and daddy cleaned that up really quick. He's like, oh, no, my saddle! Which is why he was not on my saddle.
celebrity equestrians. You guys like to do posts about celebrity equestrians, and they're always fun to read. Tell us about this one.
Yes, yeah. I would say Horse Nation is the Us Weekly of the horse world. That's what we're really striving for. Amanda Ronan is probably is a top-notch equestrian celebrity stalker. She's on our staff, and her latest subject was Robert Duvall, who I've heard rumors about Mr. Duvall before, about him, you know, that he lives in Middleburg and that, you know, people see him at the pub sometimes and that he's into horses, but Amanda went and confirmed those rumors. He does actually, and much, much more, he actually does have a farm now up in Northern Virginia, and horses are a big part of his life and apparently have been for a really long time. He's not one of these people that lets a stunt double stand in for him. Like, he sounds like back, he started riding in the 60s. When he was just getting going with acting and started taking riding lessons, and later, I mean, you see, I always sort of associate him with riding Western, but he actually learned how to jump and trained with the show jumping legend Rodney Jenkins. And I didn't realize was that Aaron Vale, who's also, you know, Grand Prix show jumper, was his double in Something to Talk About. Did not know that.
He is 81. Wow.
Wow.
I didn't realize he was that old. I thought he was in his, like, early 70s. He's 81.
Uh-huh.
Jennifer,
well,
there's another interview. There's another interview you can get put together for us.
You know what?
Oh.
He was in Lonesome Dove. So he, to me, he's Captain Caw. I'm sorry, Gus in Lonesome Dove. And they just don't get any cooler than that. If you have not seen Lonesome Dove, you must. I remember Tree wrote a novel, then they made it into a miniseries. And, oh, my gosh, he's just amazing. And you know he's got to be a horse person. If they're riding, like, constantly in everyone, and he's galloping around up and down the hills and getting chased by engines, and it's just crazy. It was so good.
So good.
So, of course, he's a rider, but that's cool that he's a jumper. I didn't know that.
Yeah, did not know that. Yeah.
There's actually pictures of him in a helmet here.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, before we let you go, there's one other post I wanted to talk about. And it's the one, 10 lessons you can't learn from an instructor. Can I talk about a couple of these? These
are
fun.
I
love this one. Don't go to the grocery store after riding horseback on a hot day. It's definitely going to look like you peed yourself.
Bareback.
Yeah, sorry. Riding bareback on a hot day. I love that one. Even if the horse you're trying looks really quiet, let someone else ride it first. That is the truth. Because how many times have we looked at horses when somebody else rode it, and all of a sudden it wasn't going so well. And I know, Jamie, you've looked at a lot of crazy horses, so you've had that experience.
Love it.
Make sure you've caught the right bay horse from the paddock before you get on. Now, if you're making that mistake, you don't know your horse very well. Of course, if you're at the Four Sixes Ranch and there's 5,000 acres and 3,000 horses, yeah, you could probably make that mistake. I like this one. You will never get a gray horse completely clean for more than a few minutes. And that is true. That is true.
Yes.
Especially now we're coming into mud season most places. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we learned this one the hard way because we had draft horses that were 18 and a half hands tall. Don't fall off a draft horse on the trail. Getting back on is not easy.
The good thing about having a draft horse on a trail is the fact that you don't have to, you're not the one who has to get off and open the gates.
That's true. That is true. That was a funny post. There's a bunch more on there,
funny.
But that was very funny. Thank you for that.
You know, my favorite of that list was pay attention to what your horse's tail is doing while you're picking his feet. I know I've had some close calls, so very important. That's one you definitely don't want to learn the hard way.
That is true. We've all had those close calls. And sometimes more than close calls. Depending how quick those little buggers are. Well, thank you, Leslie, for joining us. It's Horse Nation, again, brought to you by High Visibility Sportswear. They were there over the weekend at the Road to the Horse and got to see a lot of people taking their clothing home, and there's still a bunch left. If you want something, you need something, if you're out riding on the trail or if you're riding on roads at all or you're riding anywhere that is remotely dangerous, you really need to make sure that you are seen, and High Visibility Sportswear is the way to do that. They have a couple things on sale right now. You can find them at highvisibilitysportswear.com. Thank you, Leslie.
Sure. Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
Hey, wait a minute. Before you go, we have an announcement to make.
Yeah,
I don't think Jamie even knows this. Yeah,
we forgot about this.
Jamie, Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation, superstar, one of the top websites on the Internet, is going to be our celebrity for the Celebrity Trivia Challenge on Wednesday.
Yay!
Hey. Now, this is good for the listeners because Leslie has played trivia with us before, and it hasn't gone so well. So, you have a good chance of winning on Wednesday. You have to go sign up to be eligible to play. You just go sign up and go to horsesinthemorning.com and follow the banner and sign up, and we'll pick one lucky person to play Leslie because you really have a good shot of winning. And
I really do.
I'm saying that with all respect, Leslie.
No, I think I've fallen off my horse and hit my head too many times. My long-term memory is shot. And trivia is all about those random little facts, little factoids that, you're just not going to be
you know what,
otherwise.
You know what Jennifer's questions are like, too. They're not always the easiest. So, but yes, if you would like to sign up to play Leslie, I don't know what the prize is yet. We'll have to get that to you unless Jennifer knows. Jennifer, do you know what the prize is? I'm on the road and I haven't been able to look at that.
The prize has not been drawn from the prize pool yet.
Okay. So we'll let you know what the prize is going to be. And, Leslie, you think of a good charity, okay?
I will.
I mean, not that it will matter, but you might as well come up with one anyway. So.
That's a cruel.
That's a challenge. I'm going to start studying.
We love you,
Leslie. Reading my Pony Club manual. Okay.
There you go. I think that's where Jennifer gets a lot of the questions from, so that's probably a wise move, actually. Talk to you Wednesday, Leslie.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds great. Bye.
Horsenation.com. She'll be coming on with us then. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much, everybody. I have to head to the airport to head back to Ocala, where hopefully it's a little bit warmer than here in Lexington. We'll be back tomorrow. We have the Certified Horsemanship Association coming on, and we're going to be talking about gated horses and trail riding tomorrow. So for all you gated listeners out there, I know a bunch of you have gated horses, and you complain we don't ever talk about gated horses. Well, we're going to be talking about gated horses and trail riding. So join us tomorrow with the Certified Horsemanship Association. And then Jamie will be back on Wednesday to tell us all about which Mustang she bid on, because Elisa's now going to be stalking her to make sure she does.
I know. You know what? It's all the encouragement that I needed.
She was funny, wasn't she? What are you waiting for? Why haven't you done it yet?
Where is it? Why haven't you done it? Go get it. Here we go.
What's wrong
Let's
with
go.
You? Of course they make good eventers. Nobody's done it yet, but they do. They probably
will. I know,
will.
Right? Mine's going to go prelim by the fall, and I can't handle that kind of pressure.
Yeah, you got 6 months to train one up, Jamie.
To go pre-comp, okay? Not even beginner novice, but my God, she's going to have it going prelim in the fall.
I saw a video of her one horse. Is it Rune? That's the jumper. And my God, that horse can jump. I'm talking 3 feet here. I mean, that horse is jumping. So
cool.
I guess it can be done. But she's such a positive spokesman for the breed. I love having her on. So go for it, Jamie. Just got to convince your husband to find a spot.
That's the problem is the no stall already have two horses that are kind of standing around anyway. And then having more poop to clean up. That's really his big thing.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. I'm with him on that. I get it, but the, you know, he also wants to see his wife happy.
I know, that's true. That's true. And yeah. As promised, my I was telling you guys before the show that my dad said that he is going to come visit for Lucas's first birthday, which is also May 31st. And I told Chad, I'm like, you know, the only way my dad is not going to come park his butt here again is if we're on the road. So let's go.
Where is this auction again?
Up in Carson City, Nevada. It's like 14 hours away. So.
Oh, you know, but Carson City sounds so cool. Sounds like a cool place to visit.
I think it would be very fun. I think it would be a great trip. Let's go.
I think so, too. I'll tell when I see Chad at Rolex, I'll put in a good word for you, okay?
Okay, thanks. That'd be great.
Thank you. All right. See y'all. Take care. I'm heading back.
Bye, Dave. Thank you.